everyone, and welcome to Stutter Talk, the podcast dedicated to changing how you think about stuttering one episode at a time. I'm Chaya Goldstein-Schuff. I'm a person who stutters, and I'm a speech therapist. Here with me today is Karen Herring, the Executive Director of Friends, the National Association of Young People Who Stutter, to discuss her response in the New York Times article titled, Trump, Biden's mockery upsets people who stutter. We've heard this before. Before we start, we have a disclaimer. We are not here to discuss politics. We are here to highlight how to respond as individuals and as a community to the mocking of stuttering by a former and now potential leader of the free world and live dignified lives as people who stutter. Karen, welcome. Thanks so much for joining me.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Can you give me a recap of what happened on March 9th that prompted the New York Times to contact you for a comment?
Yeah. I mean, the bottom line of it was that Trump openly and explicitly mocked stuttering at a campaign rally. And after he mocked stuttering, the crowd all erupted in laughter.
Bring the country together. I'm going to bring it together.
I'm assuming you watched the video at this point. What was your response when you saw that?
I think I honestly just like felt numb. Like it was absolute shock. It's wild to see just so in your face. And I think that oftentimes we think about like stuttering being mocked from a kid on the playground or when someone maybe is caught off guard and doesn't know that you actually stutter, but they think that it's like a joke. And those aren't okay either. But for it to be in a situation on a stage in the public eye when Biden has been pretty open about the fact that he's stuttered since he was a kid, in so many ways, it was almost like one of my underlying fears being real, that this is the way that the world sees stuttering. And that it wasn't just one guy, but everyone there thought that it was something that can be laughed about.
Yeah. And I know so much progress has been made by Friends and by so many other wonderful organizations across the U.S. and across the world, really destigmatizing stuttering. And so to see that really was disheartening. In the New York Times article, you had said that this kind of mockery by the former president was actually evidence that stuttering is a big deal and it is something to be ashamed of. What are you most concerned about as a person who stutters and the executive director of Friends? You work with people who stutter, children, families, professionals. What worries you the most about this?
I think a lot of it does. I think that I'm more concerned about the younger kids and families and people of Friends and even other adults than necessarily myself. I feel like I'm personally in a place where I have a strong sense of self and self-worth, and that stuttering doesn't negate anything about me. But that took me a long time to get to. And I think a lot of people who stutter, particularly the kids and the young people at Friends, aren't there yet. And I just want to clarify and make sure that it's clear that when I said that, it was evidence that these fears are true and that this is the way the world sees us. I still don't think that that is the truth. Like, I don't think that everyone in the world feels that way and that there needs to be any underlying shame there. But it is sort of one situation where it did play out that way. And I think even having one situation when those fears are confirmed can really impact someone and the way that they feel.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you had any parents or children reach out to you for support or share their thoughts on this?
I've received a bunch of emails from people basically thanking us for taking some sort of a stand. I think just knowing that these families aren't alone in this fight and that we acknowledge and feel the same as them, that this wasn't okay. And it wasn't okay that they were made to feel this way or that their kids were made to feel this way. And it's honestly not political. It's just advocating for the rights of people who stutter and that we don't deserve to be mocked and be made to feel small.
Mm-hmm. And in your response, Friends sent out an email to all of its members saying that regardless of political affiliations, our stuttering community will continue to remind people at every opportunity of the dignity of those who stutter. And it sounds like the best way to respond to this mockery is with dignity. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I think that to be completely transparent, I would say my initial reaction was to be mad and wanting to take a strong stance that, like, we don't accept this and this isn't fine and shame on anyone that could make someone else feel this way. But I think after some reflection and talking to members of our board and people who are heavily involved with Friends, sort of letting some of that anger go a bit and feeling more that the people in the stuttering world and in the Friends organization need resources and actionable steps and things to do to help them heal. That it isn't necessarily about putting down someone else, but making sure that their self-worth is being built up to where it deserves to be.
Absolutely. And I know that part of Friends' mission is to provide support and education to young people who stutter, their families and professionals. And part of Friends' vision is to help build a world where people who stutter feel empowered to communicate. And this is from the website, wherever, whenever, and however they want to. What are some resources that Friends offers to build this sense of dignity and community, especially during this time?
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the first things we did, I think, was trying to be a role model to the younger generations that we don't have to stay silent and we can reclaim what stuttering is and what stuttering is not. And even if people are going to laugh or mock, that we still can stutter openly and be true to ourselves. And then we also offer a lot of more hands-on, face-to-face types of support. We have a, I think a teen group tonight, actually, although I don't know when this is going to actually air. But we have virtual groups every month, one for kids who stutter, one for teens who stutter, one for young adults who stutter, and one for parents. And a lot of these groups have a decent amount of sort of free time and space there for the people in the group to share and to support one another and vent. And it's a flexible space where people can gain that support. I know I don't want to speak for you, Haya, but I think for me anyway, like one of the most beneficial things that really helped me was being around other people who stutter, just being reassured that my feelings are valid and I'm not alone in them. And having role models to look up to, that in times when it feels safer and easier to avoid or shut down or hide, that there is another way too, and that there are people out there stuttering every day, and that that's okay too.
Yeah. And I was nodding when you were saying, I don't know, how about you? Yeah. Being in a support group with other people who get it, who stutter, is one of the most healing experiences. So I second what you're saying. And those groups are now accessible virtually. And we'll make sure to put the links into the show notes so that people can join all different ages.
I also meant to mention, but then I just distracted myself. In addition to the virtual groups, we also have in person groups and conferences throughout the year. We have one day conferences in different locations. We just had one in Raleigh and at Lahana the last 2 weeks. And coming up within the next year, we're planning to hit up 9 more. Some of the ones that are more or less confirmed is Chicago and New York. And then we also have some that not ready to totally announce yet, because we're still figuring out some of the logistics. But some on the West Coast, some in the Midwest, some on the East Coast. So they really, our hope is to be as accessible as we can to families and people who stutter that want to build that community in their home to towns. And then in addition to that, we have our main annual convention every year, and that changes locations every year too. And that's a three-day event. And this year it is in Denver. And we work really hard to ensure that there accessible and that cost isn't a prohibiting the factor and give out a lot of scholarships. We really just want to make sure that those who want to be involved in this stuttering world and gain that support can, and that they can find a home within friends.
Fantastic. Yeah. And I can speak to the amazing events, having been at the annual convention. It truly is heartwarming and potentially life-changing. And I definitely can vouch for that. And I'm so glad about the work that you're doing, really nationwide, hopping all over the country. And we look forward to learning more about the other locations. If someone wants to know if Friends One Day Convention will be coming to their neighborhood, where can they look further?
Of course. We definitely post it all on our website, friendswhostutter.org. We also share it all on our social media accounts. As we open registration for each of the different locations, we also send out an email blast to our mailing list. So if you want to make sure not to miss that, I would say signing up for our mailing list would be the easiest way. But we also try really hard to make sure that it's out in the world too. So people that are interested know about it. Also, welcome to reach out to me at any time, or Sarah McIntyre is the one-day conference director. So she's the one spearheading them all this year.
Fantastic. And what message do you want to give to children and parents, really across the world, about living a dignified life with stuttering?
Just for them to hear and to know that there isn't anything wrong or broken with you or your child or your loved one. And having people laugh or mock or try to make you feel less than doesn't make it true. And it's understandable, and you're allowed to feel hurt and pained by that. But we also have a really strong stuttering community, both in the United States, but also globally. There's so many amazing organizations and people who stutter. And we're all going to continue to show up for one another and push back against any sort of hate or belittlement. And that this doesn't have to define you or your loved one, that we can do so much more than be the butt of someone's joke.
Yeah. Thank you for that. And on a personal note, Karen, if you're willing to share, you're obviously deep along on your journey and in a place of acceptance when it comes to stuttering. Might you share one or two things that you found tremendously helpful that built that sense of dignity for you that others might learn from?
Yeah. I mean, I will also say that I've come leaps and bounds from where I once was, and the way that I feel about my stuttering has evolved tremendously. And there are days where stuttering, like my stuttering isn't in my head and I'm not thinking about it, which at some point in my life, I never would have believed, because stuttering used to be all that I thought about and which words would be easier to say. And what if someone asks me about it, or what if someone laughs at me? But that doesn't mean that I'm like hit a place of acceptance and now I'm just good to go. I think stuttering is a variable thing. The amount that I stutter and how stuck I feel, or how much physical tension I might have, fluctuates, but also the way that I feel about it fluctuates. But with that said, I even in sort of the lows that I'm experiencing sometimes now, it never feels like the lows that I once felt. I don't think that I can ever or will ever go back there. And I think a big piece of sort of what helped me get there, honestly, was community. It's weird to plug stutter talk while I'm on stutter talk. But one of the things that I used to do a lot, particularly when I was living in a place that I didn't really know any other people who stutter that lived close to me, I would just have stutter talk on, even the episodes that I already heard, and not necessarily like listening to them, but just like being exposed to stuttering helps normalize it, that it isn't this big, weird, bad thing, that it can just be the way someone talks. And I think sometimes it's easier to feel that way or think that way when it's not your stuttering that is encompassed with feelings and experiences that you've had your whole life. I can remember like hearing people stutter on stutter talk and like feeling like it almost sounded beautiful. And that was like such a bizarre thought, because I would never feel that way about myself at that point. Being surrounded by stuttering, even if it's not in real time or face to face, depending sort of what your situation is and what you realistically can do, I think is just huge.
Yeah, absolutely. And so having those virtual opportunities and podcast opportunities, and joining whatever kind of community, be it in person or far away over the screen, right?
I also think role models played a big part for me. Seeing someone who was farther along than me and sort of learning from them and seeing what helped them and what they do, but also having something other than fluency to strive for. Mm-hmm. Feeling like I want to be able to speak spontaneously like them without having to plan out what words I'm going to say or what I'm going to order when I go out to eat, or seeing them get in a block and not seeing that look of panic in their eyes, but just sort of hiding it out. It inspired me in a lot of ways of what I ultimately wanted, and that maybe it would feel even more fulfilling to be in their shoes than to be where I was at the time, which was I appeared to be more fluent, but only because I wasn't saying everything that I wanted to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And so the community, what I hear is the strength of the community, just hearing other people who stutter, having role models and being exposed to that time and time again, got you to where you are largely.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, what I'm so glad to know is that Friends is now continuing to bring those opportunities to families, to parents, and that you're now getting to be part of that positive change. We'll make sure to put in all the links that you mentioned in the show notes so people can find out what all the wonderful things Friends are doing. And I really want to thank you, Karen, for your time.
Thank you so much. It was really nice to be back on Stutter Talk.
Same.